us. But I want to just send a quick thank you to everyone and applause to all of our dads here this morning. We had an amazing men's breakfast yesterday, and I was so glad to have done that. And I will be honest, I was not going to do it, only because I was a little intimidated by what the women did for Mother's Day. And it was really awesome. And I thought, oh my God, there's no way we can match that. And a couple of weeks in, I just felt the Lord saying, no, you need to have something for your men. And I said, well, Lord, there's no theme. We need a theme. And the Lord gave me a theme, and we talked about our theme, and we had a great time, and the food was good. And I just said all of that just to thank everybody who was a part of it. Can we give them a hand as well? All right. Amen. Today we are continuing in our Covenant Elevation series. And last week we had the privilege of dedicating the message to our graduates. It was for everyone, the message it was, but we dedicated that to all of our graduates for 2018. And we shifted the focus of that series to Abraham, who is considered the father of our faith. And today, we get to honor all of our dads through this message as well. And it's still going to be, just like last week, it's still going to be something for everyone, but it's going to really connect to a lot of our fathers today. But we're going to draw a lot of revelation from the life of Abraham once more. And so one of the reasons that we're focusing on Abraham, we are in a covenant elevation series, and the reason we're focusing in on Abraham is because he's one of the early mentions of covenant as God established covenant with certain individuals throughout the Bible. God's covenant with Abraham was twofold. He first established that Abraham would have a multitude of descendants. Can everybody just say descendants for me? And then he promised to give Abraham's descendant a land flowing with milk and honey. Everybody just say, I have a land. Amen. And so last week we read in Romans 4 and 11, we read that not only is Abraham considered the father of our faith, but he's also the reason why God has blessed us with certain promises. His promises, again, was twofold. It's a promise of descendants and a promise of land, not just for himself, but also for those descendants. So today I want to look at how this promise plays out for our lives today and how we can fully possess the promise that God has given us through Abraham. So I want to go ahead and take you to back to Genesis 12. That's where we were last week. But I want to go down to verse 7 and read that. It's a very simple commitment that God gave to Abraham in this verse. And so I want to just go ahead and read that one verse to you today. It says here, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. God promised the land to Abram's descendants, the land that God had sent him to, the land that he walked the length and the breadth of after he left his father's house. Therefore, God promised Abraham children. So if God promised to give land to his descendants, then God's obviously promised him descendants. And that's important to note because we know that Abraham at this point of his life was 75 years old. Not only was he 75 years old, but his wife Sarah was barren. So the promise of descendants becomes a little bit more intriguing when you throw all of those items into the mix. I'm 75 and I'm getting ready to have some children. I have no children right now and my wife is also barren. So how is this going to take place? And eventually they would have Ishmael. They would also have Isaac. And Abraham's descendants, though, the only child that we know of, aside from Ishmael, but the only child that was the true heir of God's promise was Isaac. But here is God giving Abraham this promise of this multitude of descendants, as many as the sands on the seashore and as many as the stars in the heavens. God says, I'm going to give you a multitude of descendants. And so from that, we kind of already know what he meant by that. that these are not going to be necessarily descendants. Well, in a sense, yes, descendants from his physical body that would come through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel and so forth. But not just that. They're also spiritual descendants of Abraham. That's us. That's us. And that's what we kind of learn from this scripture in Romans 4 and 11, that God, that Abraham is not only the father of our faith, he's the father of our faith because he was the one in the Old Testament who exhibited faith and God counted it as righteousness. And because of what he did, God, in a sense, established what we also do to, receive salvation. We receive it by faith. And Abraham was the father of that, and that newfound faith in Jesus Christ is now counted unto us as righteousness. And so last week's message, again, it was for everyone, and even though we dedicated it to our graduates. Today we dedicate this to our fathers, but we're going to look at something for everyone here. And so I want to look at your first point for today. The first point for today is simply to embrace your descendants. If God's given Abraham a promise of descendants and land, and God is trying to tell us today that you have the same promises of Abraham, then that means that you have the same promise of Abraham, which means descendants and land. Yeah. You have descendants and land. And here's the first point again, embrace your descendants. Our descendants are not just the children that come from our biological bodies, just as the case was for Abraham. When God said, I'm going to give you a multitude of descendants, he was not talking only about those who came from his physical body. He was talking about spiritual descendants that would later come to faith in Jesus Christ. We also have like descendants. We also have, in a sense, spiritual descendants. And so our descendants are not just our children or our children's children. As we look at this in a wider scope, we see that our descendants are also those that God has called us to lead. There are people that God has called us to. In a sense, you are, in a sense, our descendants. Yeah. In a sense, because God's called us to pour something of himself into you. Amen. You're welcome there. No, but seriously, it's like God's called us, and I know that might sound all kind of weird, especially if you're new here, like, man, I don't know, you ain't my daddy. You know? But there's something that God's called us to. And it's not just the people that are here in this room. There's a whole multitude of people that God's called us to pour into. Can I just say this real quick? There's a multitude of people that God's called all of us to pour into. And that's how this, in a sense, connects to fathers. Because God has given, as fathers, God has given us children, physical, biological children, to pour into. But in like fashion, God is saying, I'm expanding that. You got to think a little bit bigger and broader and understand that you have descendants that you need to embrace. That means there's a calling that you need to embrace. There's a calling that you need to embrace that says, God, I allow you to position me in a place where I can pour into the descendants that you've called me to lead. So if I'm going to embrace my descendants, I've got to also embrace the call that God's given me to actually connect with those descendants and pour into them. That's a call to everyone, saved or unsaved. You're not saved yet. There's a call on your life to minister to a multitude of descendants. Embrace them. Let's go to Isaiah 51 or 54 and 1. It says, sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman, the one who may look like right now has no descendants, that desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. That person who may not have the physical children has spiritual descendants that she must pour into. Now, I'm saying she because that's what God is talking to here in terms of Jerusalem or Israel as a wife, so to speak, who may not necessarily have a husband just yet, but God is that husband who will bless her with descendants. So not only are we a spiritual seed of Abraham, we are also a spiritual sense of Israel. So when God says this here in this book that is poetically expressed here, he's not just saying this to the Jews. He's saying this to all of those who are Jews, spiritually speaking, which is us who are in Christ Jesus. All of that to say, he's talking to us. Give God glory. Shout for joy. Because whether or not you have physical children that have come from your body, you have spiritual descendants. Embrace them. Not just hug, but it's like embrace it. Receive it mentally and receive that. Embrace that thought that, yes, you have descendants. You got a people that you're supposed to pour into. Your descendants are people that you pray for, labor for, sacrifice for, and expect nothing in return from. Though you pour into them, pray for them, cover them, love them. You have descendants, embrace them. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people." There are people that God's going to put around you, Timothy, that you're going to find to be trustworthy people that you are called to pour what I'm pouring into you into them. Everybody with me? I'm pouring something into you, Timothy, that you've got to pour into someone else. There are descendants among you. There are descendants that you may not even know of yet, that you haven't even laid your eyes on yet, but God's going to gather them to you so that you can pour into them. And so just like Abraham, God is giving each of us descendants, but also like Abraham, we have to receive this by faith. When God told Abraham, "You're getting ready to have a son," Abraham, even though we kind of credit this to Sarah, Abraham kind of laughed at that for the same reasons that I just expressed earlier. Number one, I'm 75. My wife is barren. How is this going to happen? But eventually, Abraham received that word by faith. And just like Abraham received that calling, his descendants, by faith, so do we in this time and season have to receive that by faith. God, you've given me descendants. I receive them. I embrace them. I say yes to the call to them. Amen. So embrace your descendants as Abraham was given descendants. God has a promise of descendants for you. There are many people whose lives you have to pour into, and God's going to strengthen you to do that. Secondly, possess your land, or as it's written on the screen there, territory. Possess your territory. Let's continue in Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." You don't necessarily have to have a big church to have spiritual descendants. You might very well be the person who pours into the person who becomes the next Billy Graham. So while you may have only poured into one person, that person may end up pouring into millions, and they all kind of become your descendants. Your descendants will occupy other nations. That doesn't mean you're getting ready to give birth to, 10 million physical children. But somebody who you pour into might just pour into somebody else who pours into a multitude of people, and that all traces back to your spiritual family tree. That God called me to this one poured into that one, and that one poured into a multitude. Keep that in mind when you go into the grocery store. You just never know. You just never know. God, if that's my descendant and you're calling me to them, let me not just go into the milk section and just continue my shopping. Help me to stop what I'm doing, pour into that person, let them pour into whoever they're going to pour into, et cetera, et cetera. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home. You are going to be bursting out at the seam. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. New territory is not only geographical land. New territory can also mean the mastery of certain gifts, talents, and abilities. That's why I like to call this territory and not just land. There's territory. There are various industries that God may call you to. You might be gifted in Romans 12. It talks about how some have the gift of prophecy. Some have the gift to teach. Some have a gift of generosity. They are extreme givers. But whatever that gift may be, God will give you a mastery of it and begin to also expand you in that land, if you will, in that territory. So I may be a pastor, I may be a teacher or a spiritual leader, but God can give us an abundance of influence throughout the region. Somebody in here may be a doctor. I know a couple. Somebody in here may be a doctor, but even in being the doctor, he says, expand your territory. That means don't just be satisfied with what you know now about being a doctor. Let that begin to expand, because the more that expands, the more influence you'll begin to have over those descendants. And the more descendants you actually make room for. So as the other versions may say, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Spread out a little bit. Can I tell you what that really means? Think a little bit bigger. That's where the real tent is that you're enlarging. It's to think a little bit bigger. Doug, I know you got a nice church here in South Bend. That's great. But you got to think a little bit bigger, because there are places and influences that I want to send you to, that I want to grow in you. But that's not just a message for Doug and Shauna. That's a message for everybody. You're going to have to think a little bit bigger, stretch out a little bit further, because you've got more and more descendants that are getting ready to come that you're going to have to provide for. That God's going to give you what you need to be able to provide for those that come. That's not just a message for pastors. That's a message for us all. That's not just a message for us as fathers on Father's Day. That's a message for us all. Stretch out. Think bigger. Look at this scripture from Genesis 13, 17. God tells Abraham, "Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I will give it to you. I will give you mastery over this industry. I will give you mastery. I will anoint you to master certain things in certain areas with this gift, with that gift. Go ahead and expand in it. Go ahead and enlarge in it. If you're a prophet, learn more about what it means to prophesy. Learn when it's good to prophesy and when it's good to keep quiet. Expand your knowledge of such realms, because God is giving you authority over those realms. Not just physical, geographical territory, but also industries, giftings, anointings. God is not, and he's not just going to leave you in where you are. He wants to grow you in that.
Amen.
So if you're a musician, learn new chords. If you're a vocalist, go ahead and take some vocal lessons. If you're a writer, start writing. If you're a cook, learn some new spices. But expand, grow, because God's going to give you influence over certain areas. God's going to give you influence. If you can find the territory, the area, the land, the industry that God is calling you to, you can possess it. And it will be a land flowing with milk and honey. That means it's going to be a rich and nourishing land to you, and it's also going to be sweet to the taste. A land that flows with milk and honey. Let me take you to Galatians 4, verses 1 through 8. Got quite a bit to cover there, so I'll read it quickly. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything that their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father has set. And that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom from us, or for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own children. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Everybody say, I am God's heir. I have an inheritance. I receive that inheritance. That inheritance is an inheritance of descendants and land. That means it's an inheritance of people I have to lead, people I have to pour into, people that I am connected to, as well as the mastery of certain gifts, talents, abilities over certain industries or whatever territory God has called me to. He's given me a mastery of that. But not only that, here's one of the revelations that came to me out of this particular passage of Scripture, is that God in this season, in particular, and it's a calling that we have whatever day of the week it is, but particularly in this season, it's being highlighted that God is elevating us, and he's establishing, not just establishing covenant with us, but he's clarifying what his covenant is for us. But it's a place of elevation, and that place of elevation for us is the place of child to son. Did you catch that scripture where it talks about when a child is a child, they have everything that the father owns, but there's a set time in which that child suddenly becomes son and now has responsibility over all that the Father has given them. There's an elevation that God is trying to help us to see and to help us to take hold of that's no longer that of a child. Because a child is cared for. A child really doesn't really consider the needs of other people. But God has given you the promises of Abraham and me as well, so that there are descendants that are coming. So all we can think of now just about is that the needs of other people. So our focus now is these descendants that you've connected me to, Lord. I've got to take what you've given me and pour into them. I have to focus my life now on how I prepare so that when they come, I'm ready to feed them. I now take possession of that. I'm no longer a child. I am now a son. I'm no longer one who just thinks about my own needs. Here I go. I don't just come to church and look for what's for me. I come to church with an eye that says, where do I serve? That's what sons do. And that's the defining quality of real maturity. Is when I take the focus off of myself and my own needs, and I prepare for the needs of others. The more I grow in God, the deeper that commitment begins to go. That I'm no longer consumed with my own needs. It's not that I don't have needs and that they don't need fulfilling. But I press my way into setting those needs aside and saying, how do I truly and rightfully, in a very honorable, truly God-centered way, how do I meet the needs of others? God's call, that's our elevation. That's why we kept reading Matthew 25 and 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's why we kept reading it from the NLT, because it specifically uses the word responsibility. You've been faithful over few things, and now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. So now you're going to have to stretch your mind. You're going to have to stretch your thinking. You're going to have to break your old habits and routines that says, I used to do things this way, that way. Oh, boy, but now I got all these people to think about. I'm going to have to do things a whole other way. Because I'm being elevated now into the place of receiving descendants and territory. That's God's Abrahamic promise to me. And I receive it. That means get ready, get ready, get ready. I can't sound like T.D. Jakes. I don't have that big booming voice, but there it is. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm sending you descendants. I'm sending you your descendants. And I'm giving you a territory to master, because I'm not going to send you descendants and not give you provision for those descendants. But I'm making you a son. And a son is one who cares for what is of the Father's house. Sonship also delineates intimacy. It also has a regard for intimacy, because when you become a son, we were talking to one of our children about this. As you become an adult, well, let's start from the beginning there. When you are a child, your focus is your own needs. And your relationship to your parents are that of fulfill my needs. And that's rightfully so. However, as you cross over into adulthood, it no longer stays a one-way relationship. It now, boy, I heard that right. It just about harmonized with that. That's right, right, right. There's a responsibility now to say, hey, mom, dad, how are you doing? Can I help you now? I see now how what you've sacrificed has gotten me here. Is there some way I can help you? Amen. Woo, I got some yes nodding heads in this house this morning. Some amens. But it's an intimacy because it's no longer about me receiving from Father. It's now me also giving to Father. And so the relationship becomes two ways, and that's what intimacy is. It's me knowing you and you knowing me. That's the Father's desire. I want to know you and let you know me. What's that scripture from Jeremiah 9 and 23? It's like, listen, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the rich man glory in his wealth or the strong man in his strength. But if you're going to glory, glory in this, that you know me. What did Jesus say? Listen, everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when they do come, I'm going to tell them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. You never let me in enough to really know you. The Father desires intimacy, and that's one of the marks of true sonship. And while we're talking about sonships on Father's Day, please understand that this is not gender specific. Sons place more affection on the giver than the gift. The child loves the gift, but the son has a deeper maturity and a deeper understanding of what it took to give that gift and has more appreciation for the giver or the father than the gift that the father gave. Not that they don't appreciate the gift, but I appreciate the father. God, thank you for blessing me with what you've given me. I let this go, but I grab hold of you. I thank you for the stuff. I thank you for the people, the resources, the land, the territory. I thank you, Father, for all of that. But you're bringing me into the relation or the maturity of a son. And you're helping me to understand that this is a two-way relationship. You're not a genie in a bottle. When I pray, I don't always have to pray to get what I want. I can just be here, Lord, to be with you. I can just give you myself. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 13, 11 and 12, we saw last week about how when I was a child, spoke as a child. I did the things of a child. But when I became a man, or if I can say it this way for this message, when I became a son, I put away immaturity. I put away the selfishness, the self-centeredness of my childhood. I put away those childish things. When I understood who I was as a son. And so God is elevating us, particularly in this season, from child to son. It's not necessarily, it's not so much that it's the elevation from that to sonship, but the clarification of it to say, hey, remember, you are no longer children, slaves to sin. You are now sons of the Most High God. And in that, I am blessing you with many responsibilities. You've been faithful over few things. And when you are faithful over few things, you warrant God's call to become a ruler over much. So get ready. Tell the person next to you, get ready. Amen. Here's one of your biggest responsibilities as you take hold of sonship. And this is our last point for today. Pass it on. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Let me read what the first part of that said. It said, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. And then he goes on to say, who will be able to pass them on to others. Pass it on. Tell somebody, pass it on. Deuteronomy 6 and verses 6 through 8, it says this, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your, let me just scratch that word. I'm not trying to edit the word of God or do it any disservice, but for our message today, teach them again and again to your descendants. Again and again. Anybody ever been a child in here before? Nobody just teleported from Mars here. But as a child, we didn't necessarily like hearing everything over and over again. And now as parents, we don't like saying stuff over and over again. And it sounds like I'm talking about nagging, but for this isn't nagging. It's teaching. It's taking every opportunity to teach. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the gospel in season, out of season. Tell it to people even when they're sick of hearing it. Because everybody doesn't get it on the first time they hear it. In fact, I don't know that many people who actually do. That's why it's good to come to church. I'm about to be bad right there. But in all seriousness, I'm not getting on your case here. I'm talking seriously to you here. That's why it's important to come to church on a consistent basis. Because what you heard last week, you might hear again this week, but something you hear this week, you might get differently than what you got last week. And so forth and so on, from week to week to week to week. That's why when we're in school, we go to school every day. That's why we go home and do homework. Because what we're learning has to be repeated in order for us to really get it. So that it's truly ours, even when we're not looking in the book. Did you hear that? It's truly ours, even though we're not looking in the book. So we sit down, we read the book every day. Yeah, I read this passage before. Read it again and again and again until you get it and it becomes yours, even when you're not reading the book. Amen. It's in you. We read a scripture yesterday. How shall a man cleanse his way? David said in Psalms 119, he said then in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I not sin against you. I guarantee you he did not mean I perused it once. I skimmed over it. I got the highlight of it. I got the gist of it once. No, I pounded it into my heart day after day after day until it became mine and my ways changed so that I did not sin against you. Even though I wasn't reading the book. I got it over and over again. So repeat them over and over again to your children. Excuse me. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're taking that long road trip, when you're going to the grocery store, when you're going to bed, when you're rising up in the morning, when you're getting up. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. Give them the word. You have descendants. Pass it on over and over and over again. Amen. Y'all tired of me saying over and over and over again yet? Tie them to your hand. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples of men. Tell them the things that I've commanded you. They might get sick of hearing it, but I want them to get it. Here's your last point. Excuse me, your very last point. This is your bonus point. I don't know why I can't just do 4 points. This is a bonus point. I don't know. I guess I just like bonus. Anybody else like bonuses? Come on. Receive a bonus right now. Yes. Let me go back to Genesis 12 and 7. This is a scripture we started with. This is the second half of it. It says, and Abram built an altar there. God told him, I'm going to give your descendants this land. And in overwhelming worship and appreciation to God, Abraham builds an altar to the Lord. It says, he built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. So glorify God. That's your bonus point. In all of this, give God the glory. In all of this, this last scripture here, 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's something of God for each of us to possess. It may be spiritual attributes, natural talents and abilities, or physical resources, land. It may be finances. Embrace the people that God surrounds you with and use what you have to pour God's blessing into them. That's what fathers do, and that's what God has called all of us to do. We receive what our Heavenly Father has to give to us, and we pass it on to our descendants, our spiritual descendants, those that God's called us to lead, not just the ones born physically to us, but those that God has called us to minister his grace and his blessing to. Amen. Can everybody say amen to that? All right, let's bow our heads and we're going to pray. Amen. God, we thank you right now for the many blessings that you've given us. We come to you right now, Lord, with an understanding, a very simplistic understanding that says you've given something to us that we have to give to people that you've called us to. We're not called to hold on to it for ourselves. We're very simply called to minister it to other people. And so, Lord, in this moment, we just say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us hearts that are able to expand to receive others, for giving us a heart to expand to receive mastery over the territories that you've given us. I want to invite our prayer team to come. And as they are coming right now, I want to just offer each of us this, that if there are things that you need prayer for, if there are places of mastery that you may have been hindered in, things that you know God's called you to, but you may even feel stuck to say, God, I feel like I've hit a ceiling. it feels like you've called me to more, but it's like I don't know exactly how to express it. I don't know how to possess it. I don't know how to reach for it. I don't know how to break through. It just seems like something is stopping me. And we want to pray you through that. But more so than anything, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we really want to pray with you today. Jesus died for our sins. And if we have not committed our way to Him, and we've not committed our lives to Him, we could end up eternally separated from the Lord. And so we offer you this moment. If you're here today and you've not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, won't you come? Come and pray with one of our prayer team members, and they will lead you in a prayer of repentance and salvation that will turn your life over to Jesus Christ, and you can be eternally His. Amen. Praise God. I feel like singing a song. You want a song to sing? You want me to give you a song? You've got a song? You're just ready for me to push go? Okay. Go ahead.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
Can we just stand and sing it together?
You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Amen. We are heirs. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are heirs of God the Father. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance from the Father. And not only that, we have something to pass on to generations. Not even just generations to come, but even generations that are now. We have something to pass on to others. And there's a world that's waiting to receive it and desperately needs it. If you don't believe me, just turn the news on. This world desperately needs it. Amen. Let's lift our hands one more time, and we're just going to pray and dismiss. But if you are in need of prayer, I'm going to ask that you please come. Don't be afraid or ashamed. It's a very loving group of people that simply wants to share your prayer needs and agree with you for your breakthrough in Jesus Christ. I want to just say also happy Father's Day to all of our dads and let you know that we do have a gift for you as you leave this place. So Father, we thank you for every father in the house. Thank you for being our good, good Father, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, for all of us that you've called to descendants, Lord. All of us, Lord God, and for every person that you've called us to minister to, Lord, we want to make sure that we pour out every drop of what you poured into us. Thank you, Lord God. And as we pass it on, Lord, let it keep passing on. Paul told Timothy, pass this on to people who will pass this on to people who will pass this on to people. Yes, trustworthy leaders, Lord. So we thank you, Lord God. Bless your people richly. Bless every father in the house today, Lord God, and receive all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. And they want to do stuff. If you, okay.